Our New Testament reading this morning is from the book of Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. The book of Romans is scripture that scholars say is all about theology. If you want to learn theology, it's from the book of Romans. If you want to learn how to be saved, it's from the book of John. Now, obviously, all the books of the Bible are beneficial. All the books of the Bible are necessary to teach us everything we know. But the book of Romans teaches those core beliefs, those core understandings that we have of God, of Jesus Christ, and of the Holy Spirit. And in fact, a lot of the understanding of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, comes directly from the book of Romans. Hear now the word of our Lord. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? And this is the word of our Lord. This scripture starts off with a message of peace. How much do we need peace? Isn't peace what we seek? Isn't peace what we seek when we look forward to our vacation? Isn't peace what we seek when we look forward to retirement? Isn't peace what we seek when we think about the holidays to come? Yes, humans seek peace. Humans have been seeking peace ever since the fall of Adam. Humans have sought peace. But peace was hard to find. Because of the fall of Adam, because we are born into sin, and because our Lord cannot look upon sin without anger, we found ourselves being born as enemies of God. We found ourselves being born into an estranged relationship with our Creator. That's not particularly comfortable to think about, because we all turn on television and we hear about loving God, and God, and God is love, and God will save everybody, and God loves everybody. But the fact is that if we are not in fellowship with Jesus Christ, then we're not in fellowship with God. And if we're not in fellowship with God, then we're enemies of God, because we're working for the wrong side. The book of Romans, in this first eight chapters, starts off in the first four chapters of a message to all people, whether they are saved or not. This chapter 5 speaks to the reader with the assumption that they know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So this is truly a message to the choir. And even though we may know Lord Jesus as our Lord and Savior, so many of us still have not been able to find the peace that comes through the relationship with Jesus Christ. The peace that we talk about are two different types of peace. One is the peace in the battle that we have with God. That is the enmity or the dissatisfaction or the distrust of man for God. Now, many of you are probably thinking right now, well, I trust God. I don't have any dissatisfaction with God. I don't have any enmity towards God. How about when God is telling you to do something that you don't want to do? How about when God is not doing something that's particularly agreeable with you in your life? How about when God is allowing you to endure pain that just doesn't seem right, that a Christian ought to have to endure that kind of pain, that kind of sorrow, that kind of grief? After all, what does it mean to be a Christian if I still have to deal with this pain and this grief? Well, the writer of this letter to the Romans knew exactly what it is that we have to deal with. Don't you recall then that Paul said that three times I have prayed to God to remove this thorn from my side? But he's told me that my grace is sufficient for you. Just endure it, Paul. Whatever, we don't know what this thorn was. We don't know whether this thorn was a physical deformity, a pain that occurred, an illness, or whether it was a temptation that kept creeping into his mind when he didn't want it to, or whether it was an anger that he couldn't get rid of. Whatever it was, Paul referred to it as a thorn in his side. And the apostle Paul, who God had called, who had knocked down on the road to Damascus, who he had drawn in to be the Savior of the Gentiles, to lead the Gentiles to know God, this God refused to take this away from Paul. Why would God refuse to take pain away from someone who spent their very life, who poured out their life working for him? Don't you know that Paul went into cities? Early on, we read in the book of Acts that Paul went into cities of the Gentiles where the idols were worshipped, where the Romans ruled, where there was worship of many gods, or where there was Jewish law was very strong. And frequently he was driven out of the city. In one case, he was taken out of the city and stoned and left for dead. Yet Paul went back again and found that God, the seeds that he had planted had grown into a thriving church. And Paul continued to do his work. So why couldn't God give this man who devoted his very life and risked his life and was stoned even for him, why couldn't he give him peace? Paul told us why. Paul said that he refused to move his thorn lest I boast. Paul knew that some of the things that God was having him do, the change that the seeds that he was having to plant were growing at such a rate that people were coming to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And God kept this thorn in Paul's side so that Paul would remember, it's not you, Paul, it's me. I can take this thorn away from you. I can give it to you. I can make these people come to worship me. I can make them run away. God wanted Paul to remember that it wasn't him that was doing this, but it was him doing this in the name of God. Paul understood that he would only have peace when he walked in the ways of God, when he kept in the will of God. And he would not have peace any other way. The scripture in Romans also tells us I can't remember the verse now, I have to look. It also tells us in verse 2, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. So we have peace with God, but Paul is also telling us that we have access to God. As I was teaching the children this morning about prayer, what we were trying to convey to these children, what you try to convey to your children and grandchildren when you teach them to pray, when you teach them to get down on your knees and pray before they go to bed, when you teach them to thank God for the food, is that they have access to God. I think that modern Christians take access to God for granted. Don't you remember in the teachings about the Jewish temple? The temple that was built after the death of David. It was a permanent temple, but before that, the tabernacle that Moses had been instructed to build had its outer area. And the outer area, the outer walls around the temple, the Gentiles, the non-Jews, the ones who had not converted to Judaism, could not enter. Then it had the next wall, and all that believed in the one God, all that had converted to been born or converted to Judaism, could enter into there. And then there was the next wall where the women could not pass. Only the men could go to that area. And then you had the inner sanctum, which was reserved by the appointed high priest. And the priests would go, and after receiving your sacrifices, after receiving your prayers, the priest would go in alone and light the incense and carry the gifts of food and wine to the altar and intercede on the part of the Jews that had requested this or made the sacrifices. When Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross, don't you remember that the scripture tells us that the curtain that sealed this inner sanctum was ripped from top to bottom. It was torn open. And from that day forward, all who believe upon the name of Jesus Christ, all who have given their lives to Jesus as their Lord and Savior, have direct access to God. We don't go through a priest. We don't go through a pastor. We don't have to go through a church. We have direct and immediate and constant access to Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit and to God. So one of the things that Paul is telling us, this message, is that we can have peace because we're no longer enemies of God. We're at peace with God. We're not at war with God. And as believers, we can have that peace. Furthermore, in addition to access to God, Paul is telling us that we also can come to understand why it is that we have the trials and tribulations that we have. In this very short 11 verses, Paul tells us that we will have tribulations, just as he has this thorn in his side, just as Paul was thrown in prison. Most of Paul's letters, the majority, were written from within prison walls. And yet he rejoiced. Paul is telling us that these things that we must endure in life create perseverance. And perseverance creates strength. And strength creates belief. And that we can know our Lord and Savior through this strength that we gain. The Bible has used the example of gold. Gold being, even then, one of the most precious substances to man and understood by even non-believers as being precious. The way that they refine gold and the way they remove impurities from gold is by immersing it in acid. And the acid will eat away everything that is not pure gold. Even today, when people go and try to sell their gold or have it evaluated, they take increasing strands of acid and put on the gold until it no longer burns. And they see, once they see that, they say, ah, this is 22 karat gold, or no, this is 10 karat gold, because it burns with the other acid. The gold is tested. The gold is proofed. Our Lord and Savior knows that we need to be tested. We need to be proofed. We need to come to an understanding that we cannot live in peace. We cannot live in completeness. We cannot live in harmony with God when we're trusting upon ourselves and relying upon ourselves. Paul is telling the Romans that he has gone as a prisoner into Rome. He is telling them while he's writing this letter as a prisoner in Rome that he voluntarily went to address Caesar. Paul is telling them the people, do not worry, that you need to be at peace, that you need to understand that these sufferings, these worries, these anxieties, these illnesses, these pains that you have, only work to perfect you, only work to preserve you, only work to draw you closer and closer to Jesus Christ. I think we've all heard the saying, everything that we said, that God only gives to us those things which He knows that we can bear. And we remember the common retort is, that's great, but I wish God didn't have so much confidence in me. God is our creator. He's not our Saint Nicholas. He's not our nice, funny uncle. He's not our buddy. God is the creator. God created us for a purpose. God created us not to just exist and not to just be happy and not just to watch us, as one might take it and watch an ant farm. They might take it, and if you've ever seen the clear plastic ant farms, and you put it in and you can watch the ants build and you can do that, and that's all neat and good, but the ants never leave the plastic. They never do anything but do what ants do in the ant farm. That's not what God has in mind for us. God has in mind for us to be looking for ways to minister for one another. God has in mind for us to be looking for ways to serve Him. God has in mind for us to be looking for ways to share the good news, to share the gospel with one another, to heal, to give peace to one another. We're not an ant farm that God has constructed so He can look down from above and say, isn't that neat? I've got something to watch. No, God has a purpose for you, specifically and personally and particularly you. God has a purpose for me. God has a purpose and a way for us to work together in His will to do His work and His good. None are saved by works, as we know. But James says that none of us can help but do His works if we are in fact saved. So we need to be listening for that small, still voice to lead us in ways to know how to serve one another, how to bless one another, and how to be ready to do that work that God has called us to do. He didn't call us just to watch us, just to enjoy us. But what does our catechism, in the Presbyterian Book of Confession, tell us that the chief end of man is? You remember? The chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him. That's what we're called to do, is to glorify God and enjoy Him. But God has called us to do His will, and only when we're in His will can we glorify God and enjoy Him. Because only when we answer that call, no matter how strange that call may seem, only when we answer that call to do God's will are we ever truly going to find peace. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.